We're just happy to have Steve Kerr on to talk about everything that's been going on here. He's brought to you by The Bay Club. You can visit thebayclub.com. Steve, thank you very much for joining us. Let's start with this. Not all weeks are created equal in the NBA, are they?
No, you never know what's going to happen in this league. And long seasons, 82 games. Our seasons have stretched to 9 months, the last 4 years. So much can happen on so many different levels, and you just got to ride it out and move forward.
I think the best thing to come of all of this, honestly, was your quote about how Steph Curry is the short Tim Duncan. Tell us exactly what you meant by that.
Well, having played with Tim, there's something incredibly special about a player who can be so dominant as a player on the court and so humble off the floor, and the tone that sets is remarkable, and it just sort of solves a lot of issues. And there aren't many guys like that, to be honest. And Steph reminds me so much of Tim in that regard. We had plenty of drama in San Antonio. You didn't hear about it very often because Tim would usually sort of resolve things behind the scenes just with the force of his personality. And I feel like Steph's the same way, So it's a huge advantage to have somebody like that leading your team. And Steph's going to help us, get through what we're going through right now.
Steve, there's no doubt at all. It's a huge advantage to the Warriors that you're the guy leading this team for many reasons, even especially through this moment. And look, there are a lot of questions that I want to ask you, and these are a lot of questions that you've already passed on. And I'm not going to run over old ground. Like, you've drawn very public boundaries around what you do and don't want to talk about. I think I've heard every word you've spoken this week, and I'll respect the groundwork that you've laid down here. I never want our weekly chats to become press conferences. Like, I want us to be able to just comfortably talk with each other. So let me ask you this. There are a lot of worried Warriors fans, and they watched that game in Houston, and that didn't exactly help the feeling. What do you want fans who are worried to know?
Well, I want them to know that what you're seeing right now is not what you're going to see, for most of the season. But it's inevitable that teams have to go through, different adversity. And right now, this is sort of the confluence of injuries and some emotional stuff that happened on the floor. And it's all hitting at once, along with the schedule getting tougher, So we're in this situation. We're not going to be in it forever, but for right now, it's not going to be easy, and we've got to dig our way out of it. But this team has all the components to do so. The character, the talent, the togetherness, the history. So long term, I have no doubt we're going to be fine. But I'm also not under the illusion that this is just going to, be resolved in a day, and we're going to go back to winning every game easily. It doesn't happen that way. It's going to take some work.
As a coach, Steve, is there a lesson, a mentor, a fable that maybe you turn to guide you through this moment? Like you talked about being wounded spiritually. Like, do we need a priest or a rabbi?
No, I think I just rely on the experience that I've gained, both as a player and as a coach and an executive. The stuff you don't see if you're a fan is very often anyway, is the reaction and the emotion of players with each other and the interaction with each other. You see the games, you see the joy, sometimes you see the anguish, but rarely do you see, what was seen the other night. And so I'm sure that has rattled a lot of our fans. But I think it's important for fans to know that this kind of stuff happens all the time. On every team I've ever been on, there's all kinds of pressure, and there's competition, and you're like a family. You're together constantly. So behind the scenes, there's all kinds of stuff, and then it's up to the team and the coaching staff to sort of solve things and resolve things. And that's why it's so important to have a foundation, have a team culture, have certain values that are important to you and your staff and your team. And when you have those things in place, then it's much easier to heal from any adverse moments.
Steve, I think my biggest worry is that we haven't seen a drop of either of these guys saying in a reassuring way to the media, even if it's lying to just defuse the bomb. You know, when you're working on a bomb, if you clip this wire, it ticks faster. If you clip this wire, it stops blowing up. Like, I just haven't heard any of like a, hey, that's my guy. We're brothers. Like, we're going to get past. Don't you worry about anything. It seems like they're still like standing off a little bit in the media. Is that helping or hurting the situation? Is it exacerbating the situation?
Well, again, I just don't think it's that simple. I think everybody wants a flip of a switch and, hey, everything's fine again. But you're talking about human beings and intricate relationships. And so things have to happen over time. And as I said, I'm very confident because of the character of the people in our locker room, the history that we have together. I'm very, very confident that this will resolve and it will unfold. But again, it's not going to happen with one statement or, you know, one day or a couple of days. It has to have sort of a lifespan, and it has to be resolved with some work.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. I've heard every answer you've given. I've heard, I think, every question you've been asked. No one's asked you this yet, Steve. I want to be the first. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. Are you kidding me? I mean, I've been so blessed to coach this team the last 4.5 years. This is the real NBA, by the way. What I've been dealing with the last 4 years is not the real NBA, you know, where you have almost nothing but success and amazing players and talent and just incredible atmosphere and vibe and what we've been doing the last 4 years and the group that we've had has been an absolute dream, and this is more reality where, you know, you just run into stuff that happens. And as I mentioned, every team I ever played on, even the ones that won championships, and in some cases, especially the ones that won championships, you know, we had all kinds of adversity and things we had to deal with. And in the end, that's my job as head coach, and that's our staff's job. You know, as a group, we have to take care of this stuff behind the scenes. And it's interesting because we have to do it in a fishbowl because there's so many people interested, so we have to sort of do it in a subtle manner. We have to do it behind the scenes. We also have to, you know, talk a little bit about it publicly, but we can't share everything. And it requires some deft gymnastics, if that's a phrase that can be used.
It looked like you and Bob both went through a ton of mental gymnastics to get through the game suspension press conference. And I don't think I've ever seen you wear a piece of news so heavily. You could tell that was a tough one for you guys.
It's a very tough one. We love Draymond. You know, he is he's somebody not only who has helped us win championships, but somebody that who Bob and I have grown very close with and gotten to know at a very deep level, and we love him, and so. You know, when something like this happens, it's like something happens in your own family, and you hate to see it. You don't want it to happen, but something happens, and then you have to deal with it within your family. But again, the difference is there's no privacy in this world that we live in, that the Warriors live in, or any other professional sports team. There's no privacy, so everything that you do is basically out there for people to read about, to hear about, to learn about, and that makes it much more tricky to sort of resolve in the end.
How much more would we know about Jordan and Pippen if they had played in a social media era?
Oh, you have no idea.
Well, no, this is an opportunity to let me know the idea, though.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, you're far enough removed. What's the statute of limitations on those stories? Come on.
No, it's a good try. No, I will just say life was a lot easier as a professional athlete 20 years ago than it is now. I mean, we were judged, but it was, the morning paper. This was kind of pre-internet, right? So it was literally the morning paper, and if you wanted to avoid that, you could. And, you had talk radio, I guess. You could, there was still that, but you didn't have the constant judgment and criticism at your fingertips, and you didn't have the sort of social behavior that we've all grown accustomed to and developed, myself included, where we're always holding a phone, and we're always in contact with people, and we're always knowing everything that's happening out there in the world. Such a different life that we live now, and I think for a professional athlete, it's dramatically tougher.
Do you think Phil Jackson would have been able to write a book called Zen in the current landscape we live in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's never been more important to have those qualities in your life, and so I think those books are actually pretty powerful now. If you can find a quiet space in your day these days, do a yoga class, take a hike, get in touch with nature, with without any technology around you. Boy, that's never been more important.
And so really, your job this weekend is to get the Warriors breathing out their third eye again, right?
Something like that, and but it's not, it's not just this weekend. It's going to unfold over these next weeks, and it's, I think the important thing to remember too is it's happening at a time when we're really beaten up. It's not just Steph's injury, but guys are beaten up. We're going to have several people questionable for tomorrow. Draymond's been dealing with a nagging toe injury. Sean and Andre, Sean was out. I think he missed 7 games. Andre missed a couple games. And so, dealing with this kind of stuff while you're injured, it's harder to get back to the continuity, on the floor that you need. And so it's all part of it. Every team goes through this. It just happens that over the last few years, we have not gone through much of it. So we're prepared for it, and we'll deal with it.
How much do you miss having a headache named Fergie?
wait, say that again.
How much do you miss having a headache that was just named Fergie?
I don't even know what that means.
Well, I mean, think about it. The biggest controversy was a Fergie anthem remix, and now this?
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, I forgot about that. That was, I didn't even remember that, but yeah, that was, what was that, about 2-3 weeks ago?
Or 4-5 years ago. I can't really remember,
well,
Steve.
Here's the irony. Literally, this stuff we're dealing with, started in L.A. 3 days ago. Every story up until 4 days ago was about how the Warriors are having a tremendous amount of joy, and they've moved on from the angst of last season, and, we're in a great place. And so this is how quickly things can turn, and the narrative can turn. So that's the life of a professional sports team. So things changed quickly.
And what's totally crazy is look at everything that we've dealt with, and we haven't even eaten Thanksgiving dinner yet.
Yeah, exactly. And by the time the playoffs start, the Masters will have been played, and the Super Bowl will be finished, and I don't know. Name any other analogy you want, but it's this season is so long that you just you can't get too up or too down. And obviously, I'm well aware that our fans are concerned, and we don't look like ourselves right now and all that. But we're going to be fine. We're gonna get there.
Thursday night in Houston was a bad night of Warriors basketball. Anything to learn, or burn the tape and move on?
Oh no, you always learn from every game. And I think last night was a combination of, we played a very good team that's rounding into form that, took us to 7 games last year, along with, the ball not going in, and some bad energy. Just, throw all those things together, and it's not going to look great. So we've got to improve our energy. We got to get better with our offensive execution, and we've got to move forward to the next game. And you know, you learn from the last one, you try to get better for the next one.
Next game's in Dallas. You're going to get a first look at Luka, 19-year-old kid who's already a world class player. What's jumped out about him to you?
Just how confident he is. You know, he's a real playmaker at that small forward spot. I love guys like that who can, you know, put the ball on the floor and shoot the three and create offense for others. But it usually takes time in a guy's young career to feel comfortable and confident doing that. He looks like he's got plenty of confidence, and it's been interesting to see him grow this early in the year.
When you get to San Antonio on Sunday, does Greg Popovich, is he more likely to greet you with like a sympathetic hug or halfway laughing at you saying, well, you wanted to coach, you schmuck, here you go?
Yeah, a little of both. And that's what I love about Pop. You know, there's always a little perspective, there's always some humor, but always a little advice too. And he's the best. He's one of my best friends, and obviously, he's dealing with his team, and I'm dealing with mine. But in the end, we always compare notes and share thoughts, and because this is something that, you know, it's we're in very unique positions and jobs, and they're not easy. So everyone in the coaching business sort of wants each other to do well because we all know how hard it can be.
Steve, when Michael Jordan was in the locker room calling out teammates or doing whatever Michael did to inspire everyone or scare the hell out of everyone, was that ever described as a calming presence, or did just the raging nuclear energy of him and knowing that he was playing for you that night have sort of a calming presence on the team?
Well, you know, generally speaking, that stuff with Michael was done in practice. It was more, you know, of a motivational a ploy, you know, putting pressure on guys in practice, really competing. I've never seen anybody compete like Michael in practice. And so he would set a bar in practice that he expected everybody to meet during games. And that was his genius. Those stories, those legendary stories of how hard he was on teammates, that was in practice. That was in between the lines. You know, once it was game time, it was all business, and you had to jump aboard and do your job. And I don't know that anybody will ever match what Michael did in terms of sort of controlling games and controlling teams with, you know, not only his talent but just his intensity and his poise, and all at once. It was incredible to watch.
I tell you, you sound more rested and relaxed today than I've heard all week from you. I hope things are officially getting better. There is something that you and I absolutely have in common, because 2 days ago when I saw it for the first time, I walked in and I talked about it with everyone at work, and I saw you tweeting about it. You mentioned filibustering, too. I would like you to filibuster for 30 seconds. Steve, what do you like most about that Elton John piano commercial?
I've watched it like 10 times. I mean, I think what I like the most about it is that it's so hard these days just to read the news, because everything is just so chaotic, whether it's Mother Nature and all of our neighbors from up north just dealing with this awful, awful fire, or the political climate. Or, you know, it just seems like the world is so chaotic, and that commercial was so beautifully done. And a reminder, just, you know, the music, how beautiful the music is, and how connected we all are. Wasn't that one of the most incredible commercials you've ever seen?
It was a love letter to being an artist. It was like a little biography. It was a timeline of Elton John's entire life. It was as good of a movie as I've seen. It was a 90-second long commercial.
Yeah, it was unreal. All true, by the way. He was raised by his mom and his grandmother, and they bought him the piano at a young age. What an incredible story.
You an Elton John guy? You seen him in concert?
Love Elton John. Love Elton John.
Yeah, I saw him.
KD, by the way, I was talking to KD today, and he loves Elton John, and he hadn't seen the commercial yet, so I sent it to him, and it's hard not to love Elton John. I mean, he's just got so many classic hits.
It is. I would keep KD away from the bitches back this week, though. I wouldn't play that one for him at all.
Yeah, that's a good one there.
The Elton John song. Hey, I thank you so much, Steve. It's we've been doing this for a couple of years, and I don't think we've ever even had like a real like other than that series in Houston last year. But this is like the first oh my gosh moment of the dynasty, at least that we know about. So let me congratulate you on keeping us all like totally unaware of things for 4 years. It's been amazing the job that you and yours have done. Let's end with this just to reassure everyone. Steve, will the parade be lit?
Oh, God. You're really going to ask me that?
Yes. Will the parade be lit, Steve Kerr?
Who said it was lit last year?
Jordan Bell.
All right. Why don't you ask Jordan next time you see him?
Fair enough. Steve, thank you so much. Good
All
luck
right.
this weekend.
See you.
Steve Kerr. Just awesome stuff from that guy. He is fantastic.